Hey, look, a rainbow. It's pretty. Fill with happiness. Virtual pathological friendliness with unquestioned pacifism. I love this place. Thank you. Go with happiness. Oops, excuse me. Hey, Triss, I really like your hair, by the way. Did you try to cut it all short and weird like that?
Why don't you take your food and sit down, huh?
Or what? Besides, I think we should all stick together now that we're all officially fugitives.
Hi, everybody. This has been a 007 back for a 10-minute spoiler-free movie review, and today I'm talking about Insurgent, which is the second part in Veronica Roth's dystopian young adult fantasy, I guess. I didn't actually review the first part of this film, Divergent, although I did see it. I watched it when it came out on DVD, and I was just so unimpressed and so unexcited by that film. I just couldn't be bothered to write a blog post about it, which I think sums up my attitude. I mean, why just rain shit on a film for no reason? But to give you the backstory, the concept of Divergent is that we are in a dystopian post-apocalyptic fantasy world, and in Chicago, a walled city has been created of what remains of humanity. And in order to maintain peace after whatever this horrible war was, humans have been tested for their personality traits and split into factions where they will be in harmony with themselves. So you have the intellects, the erudites, you have the amities, the kind of gentle, loving people, you've got candor, and everyone is tested at puberty and just put into their respective camps. And then you have these people, these rebels within the system who are divergent, who don't fit easily into one of those categories. And the heroine of our story, a young girl called Triss Pryor, played by Shailene Woodley, is one of these divergents. The first film was almost like a training video where she goes against her family's wishes and goes into a faction called Dauntless, who are really the meatheads of this world. They're the jocks. They're the kind of daredevil guys. And she falls in love with their enigmatic hot guy called Four, obviously. You know, he's going to have some stupid retarded name, played by Theo James. And at the end of that movie, there is an attack engineered on one of the factions, and it is portrayed in that world by the malevolent dictator, played by Kate Winslet, that this faction of divergence, these rebels, led by Four and Shailene Woodley's character, have been responsible for it. And so where Insurgent picks up, as the name would reveal, is that these guys are now on the run and are seeking refuge and what to do next. So, I mean, I guess to sum up very briefly why I found the first film quite dull, it's because it was so derivative. And I think that it does fall, both the book series actually by Veronica Roth and the films fall very heavily in the shadow of the Hunger Games movies, because it's so similar. You know, you have this young girl, very active, very proactive, a postmodern heroine, and she's in a dystopian world, and there are factions, and they're on the run, and they're trying to get the factions to come up against a malevolent leader. The Hunger Games movies have been done on a level and a scope that's so much more exciting, that when you look at Divergent and Insurgent, there's nothing new. And as a result, I found that my movie watching experience was almost more intellectual than typical, because I wasn't emotionally involved in Insurgent at all. You know, I do not care what happens next for these characters. I'm not engaged in their emotional journey at all. And I think it's a shame, because maybe if these films had been made in a different period than Hunger Games, that they would have gotten a better reception. But as it is, they just feel very sort of mechanical and tab A into slot B. And I just felt very like removed from my emotions when watching them. But anyway, to get to what happens in the film, as it opens, we have the Divergent crew hiding out in the Shire, with a faction that's all lovey and vegetarian hippie, and basically on the run. So they're on the run, and they run into another set of basically outlaws called factionless. So in the concept of these books, the Divergents fit into more than one character faction. The factionless don't fit into any faction. And the factionless are led by a woman who is played by Naomi Watts, who is the mother of Four. So we learn what Four's enigmatic real name is, and there's obviously beef between the two of them. And so he's very much resisting joining forces with factionless, But really, what we're led to believe is only a factionless and divergent unite can they take down the dictatorship that's at the heart of this world. So that's the kind of emotional grunge at the center of this film. But it doesn't work because Theo James, as gorgeous as he looks, just hasn't got the charisma or the... He's just not the actor to pull that off, I think. The other bit of emotional grunge that I think works more successfully is the concept that our heroine cannot forgive herself for events at the end of the first film, and that she's beating herself up emotionally and doesn't like the fact that wherever she goes, she's taking danger with her and people are dying. And that's more convincing because Shailene Woodley is just the better actress, right? She's a great actress. I think she has got real charisma. And I hope she gets better work after this set of films is over. And so what that leads to is a quite interesting but still derivative plot arc at the center of this film, where the Shailene Woodley character hands herself in to the evil dictator. And it's a move that's very similar to Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi, where he just hands himself over to the Emperor because he knows that they'll never stop looking for him and he doesn't want to bring down that heat on the people he loves. So she walks into the arms of the enemy and we have a MacGuffin. And the MacGuffin in this film is a little kooky box that contains simulations, and only the ultimately divergent person will unlock the secrets of this box. And it's a message from the founders of this new dystopian state. And Kate Winslet's evil, wicked stepmother character wants to unlock this box because she thinks it's going to justify her dictatorship. And as anyone who's watched any movie knows, that's probably not going to work out to be the case. So the second half of this movie is very much how this box is unlocked by Beatrice Pryor and what the results of that message are. The only other aspect of this movie that's remotely interesting is the character called Peter, played by Miles Teller, who starred, if you'll recall, in Whiplash, which was really, for me, one of the best movies of last year, and it's the movie for which J.K. Simmons won an Oscar. He is so charismatic, and he's a slippery little character. You never quite know which side of the game he's on. And I was just looking at his performance in this very sort of disinterested way of seeing this movie and thinking, my God, he will make an amazing Bond villain when he's older. He's got such a wry wit. Anytime he's on screen, it's just an interesting time. So kudos to Miles Teller. He's really the only person who emerges from this film with any kind of valor, I think. What to make of Insurgent and this world that's being presented to young teenage girls to go and watch? I mean, I think it's, you know, especially in the wake of me just reviewing Cinderella, it's great that we have a girl at the center of this film who's ballsy and she's taking action and she's in control of her destiny. But ultimately, this is a crazy violent film. And the message of the film is that, you know, the way to be a ballsy kind of take charge of yourself girl is to have a gun and be kick-ass, which has its place. But this is just an almost relentlessly, boringly violent film. And I think it's because the concept of how the dictator is using the Dauntless faction is one of pumping them full of computer simulations that force them to act in a violent way. And so actually, really, this is a movie about video games. And a lot of the characters throughout this movie are playing one-person shoot-em-ups. And that, you know, one-person shoot-em-ups are kind of like fun when you play them, but watching someone else play them is basically quite dull. And that maybe is the conceptual flaw at the heart of this movie. It just got to a point where I just didn't want to see another CGI-heavy kind of action scene. You know, I just don't need to see Shailene Woodley swinging from a cable of a, you know, crumbling building with a gun in her hand against fireballs and, oh, you know, like 2 hours of this? Please, no. You know, I've made references to the fact that it's a bit Hunger Games-y. There are definite Star Wars influences. You could almost see the sort of the Peter Miles Teller character as a kind of golem, or at one point kind of like an R2-D2 character unlocking all the security locks. And then, you know, the final sort of confrontation with Beatrice Pryor against her own emotional guilt is very Black Spider-Man in a way. So I just don't see any value to this series. I really don't. To me, it's just a kind of a cut out and paste of better films before it. It's kind of overly simplistically violent. I just don't see the value. I think the only kind of interesting thing when we look at this movie and we look at The Hunger Games, if you want to look at trends in cinema, is that in prior movie trilogies, where you had a group of rebels fighting against an evil dictatorship, and the original Star Wars is a classic case in hand. We never doubted the earnest good intentions of the rebels. Like, you never doubt in the original Star Wars that once the rebels take government, when the Death Star is destroyed, that they will rule wisely and well. And maybe it's an indication of how much more cynical and postmodern we are now, that both in this and in the Hunger Games, there is a suspicion that if the evil regime was toppled and the new rebel regime came to power, that they would also have evil motives. And I think that is interesting around the Naomi Watts character in Insurgent, and it's interesting around the Julianne Moore character in The Hunger Games. You know, I haven't read the final installments of these books, so I genuinely don't know what's going to happen. And the only reason why I might watch the follow-up to this movie is just to see how the whole Naomi Watts character pans out, because there's definitely a powerful reason to believe that she will not rule wisely or well. And that's kind of sad. So we're teaching our young kids that basically you should be active, which is great. To be active is to be violent. Not so good. And that ultimately all rulers and all power is corrupt and corrupting. Maybe realistic, but my God, I mean, what a depressing message to give our kids. So, as you can tell, I wasn't massively impressed with Insurgent, neither was I impressed with Divergent. The movies are, however, on general release, they're out globally. If you've seen them and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beinga007.com. The movie has a running time of 119 minutes and is rated PG-13 in the US and PG in the UK. Thank you for listening.